He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
We will start this morning with a question. There's a term some of you may have heard, ecclesia, or ekklesia if you're Greek. Does anybody know what that word means, ekklesia, ecclesia? Some of you may have heard the term ecclesiology. Most of you probably aren't as big of a nerd as I am, so maybe not. But ecclesiology is the study of the church. Ekklesia, as it is in the Greek, the ek means out. And the ecclesia, or ecclesia, however we want to say it, means called. So the ecclesia is the called out ones. The study of the church, ecclesiology, is the study of those who have been called out. We are an ecclesial people, which sounds really funny because basically I'm just saying we as the church are a church people. So it sounds kind of funny, but I think when we really look at what it means to be the ecclesia, the called out ones, it means we have to be called out of something. This week, as we have heard, Annie and I got engaged, and I was ordained an elder in the Church of the Nazarene when Dr. David Busick laid his hands on me. One of my favorite comments was said by my friend Danny Quanstrom, or what he said was this, that I've given up my life in two ways. I've given up my life for the sake of another. Annie. And I've also given up my life for the sake of the church. My life is not my own. I now duly belong to both the church, and in a year or so, when Annie and I are married, to Annie. So it was called out. I was taken from something. It's called out of the world, called to something different. And this part of being called out means that we look different. We look different from what we originally were. We were the ecclesia, the church, on Pentecost, we see them being called out. And if you've read the rest of the books of Acts, you see that Pentecost was just the beginning. It was from there they went out into all the world. By the time that the first disciples, the 12, by the time that they had passed, they had made it from everywhere, from Spain to India to Turkey to Greece to all over, all throughout the world they had been spread, and they were called out and they had been sent to different places. And we see as the ecclesia, as the called out ones, we are to look different. You may look at me this morning, I don't look like the normal person walking down the street. If you saw somebody walking in this, you would assume, oh, they must be clergy of some sort. They look slightly different. If you see a policeman or policewoman walking down the street in uniform, you know they are a policeman or woman. If you see a doctor in his white gown or her white gown and their stethoscope, you know that they're a doctor. We as the church are to look distinguished and different from the rest of the world. And part of that is because we do things differently. We say things differently. We hear things differently. We taste and smell and feel things differently. When our enemies say that they hate us, we hear, "How can you pray for me? Will you pray for me?" And so we take time and we pray for them, and we turn that enemy into a friend that we love. We hear someone say, "Go with me a mile," and we hear, "Would you go with me too?" We do things differently. I say that we are an ecclesial people. If I was Pastor John from a few years ago, I may have said we are a peculiar people. I knew you all knew that one. So this term, ecclesia, is the term that has been used for the church for many, many years. The church are the called out ones. So let's explore a little bit about what it means to be an ecclesial people, a called out people. Because if we're honest, I think it means more than just being called out. I know that that is the literal Greek definition, but I think we need to go more than that. It's not just being called out. It's also being called to. Amen. For those of you that were at the ordination service on Friday night, or for any that go and watch it on Facebook, you heard part of what we are called out of and what we are called to. And maybe it was just because it was such a special night to me, but it was one of the most powerful times of singing "Called Unto Holiness" that I had ever heard. Called unto holiness, church of our God, purchase of Jesus, redeemed by his blood. Called from the world and its idols to flee. Called from the bondage of sin to be freed. Called unto holiness, children of light, walking with Jesus in garments of white. Raiment unsullied nor tarnished with sin. God's Holy Spirit abiding within. Our song as Nazarenes, called unto holiness, holiness unto the Lord, tells us that we are called out of the world. As the ecclesia, we are called out, but as the ecclesia, we are called to holiness. We are called to do something. We are called out of the ways of the world into the ways of Christ. If you recall from last week, we're called to be a cruciform people. This is a good plug for you, Mom and Grandma, that if you didn't listen to my sermon last week, you can listen to that to pick up what I'm saying now. That we are, as a people, called out from the world and called into cruciformity. So really, when we think about being different, it may be better to say that not only is the church a called out people and a called to people, but a called back people. We are called back to the underlying reality of how the world is to actually be and how it is supposed to be. It's a world where not just ourselves are held together by the cross. Again, you'll get that reference when you watch last week's service. And it's not just that the cosmos and our biggest galaxies are held together by the cross, but that we and the rest of the entire creation is held together in harmony by the power of Christ. This is what we're being called back to. I've often been accused by friends of being an idealist, to which I tell them I'm not an idealist. I just see the world as how it is truly to be. That I see the world, I believe, the way that Christ has said the world is supposed to be, with the hope that violence will be no more, that the hope that we will stand beside the poor, the hope that we will gather in our neighbors, the hope that all will come to know Christ, and that all can come to know Christ. I think that's what we're being called back to show the world what they are actually supposed to be, how everything is supposed to be. Because that is how things are supposed to be. The world, when the world is all set to right, should look like the church. Which, of course, means that the church is not to look like the world as it currently is. We, as the church, when we are actually the church, shows the world who they currently are and what they can be. We remember this fact every time we sing one of my favorite hymns, "This is my Father's world." This verse that we read today talked about the prince or the ruler of this world as being Satan. That is a false title. That is a title that does not belong to him. That is one that he has taken, but it is not true. You guys have known that I have been reading or listening to the Chronicles of Narnia over the last several weeks. It's like the White Witch, the Queen of Narnia. She's not the Queen of Narnia. She has no actual authority to be the Queen of Narnia, although she has taken it when Aslan comes, everything is set to right. This is what we see at Pentecost. We see the world being set to right. We see how things are to truly be. We see how the grace of God pours down upon us. And it's not just the disciples, and it's not just those that hung out with the disciples, but the Holy Spirit, like tongues of fire, came down and rested, and everyone heard everything in their own language. And there were tons and tons that were saved. People saw the world as the world was truly to be when heaven and earth are made one again, and when it is fully realized that Christ is King. As an ecclesial people, we are called out and called from and called to and called back to look like Christ. The Spirit empowers us to do that. I cannot look like Christ on my own. You cannot look like Christ on your own. It is through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us that we are able to look like little Christ running around this world. I think I said it last week that the way we are to live, it should mirror what Jesus would live like if he was here today in our situations and in our places. One of the quotes I came across this week hit me pretty hard. It was a beautiful quote, but it was, you know those ones that just kind of knock the air out of you? It was said by Mother Teresa, and I think she nailed it on the head when she talked about how we are to look different from the world. She said this, "How sad it is when someone comes to you looking for Jesus and all they see is you." I think we can say that about the church too. How sad it is if someone comes to the church looking for Jesus and all they see is us. We are to be shaped and formed into the image of Christ so that when anybody comes, they see Jesus. That as you are in your community, that people see Jesus. That's all we are to be, is to be mirrors of Christ, reflecting who he is. That's what it means to be an ecclesial people. The church is the body of Christ, so we should look like Christ. If when we gather, we look no different than any social gathering or club, we're doing something wrong. Thankfully, I believe here that's not what we're doing. I don't believe that we're a social club. The fact that we pray with one another and that we embrace one another, I believe that says something about who we are. The fact that when someone is sick, that we gather around them and we anoint them and we pray for them, I think that says something about who we are. We are called out. We are to look different. I'll end this sermon with these, hopefully, brief words. A few months ago, I was in a meeting, and I heard someone say after we read a specific verse that verse was too churchy. Yeah, right? Figure that one. The verse was Ephesians 2:19-22. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. To him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God." That's too churchy. My jaw dropped, and I probably said it more blunt than I should have, but I think they were okay with it afterwards after we talked. We are the church. Of course we're churchy. That's like saying Brent, you're Brenty. It makes sense. If we look and act just like the rest of the world, why would anybody from the rest of the world want to come and be a part of us? You can get the world in the world. We need the church to be the church. And we probably need to be churchy. You need to look and smell and sound and feel, maybe taste, trying to figure out that one, like Jesus. So be the church, church. Be churchy. Be an ecclesial people, a people who have been called out from the ways of the world and back into a deeper reality of the kingdom, showing the world how it is to really be. That beneath everything, the kingdom of Christ reigns. Above everything, the kingdom of Christ reigns. In and through everything, the kingdom of Christ reigns. And that we are to be shaped and formed into the image of Christ as his church. Because we are the body of Christ for the world. Would you pray with me this morning? Come, thou Holy Spirit, come. And from thy celestial home, shed a ray of light divine. Come, thou Father of the poor. Come, thou source of all our store. Come within our hearts to shine on the faithful who adore and confess thee evermore. In thy sevenfold gifts descend. Give them virtue's sure reward. Give them thy salvation, Lord. Give them joys that never end. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve him today.